Daniel 7 and 9, it says, "And I beheld till the thrones were cast down." So the thrones that were cast down, when you read above, and when you read Daniel chapter 2, when you read Revelations, there's certain thrones that are going to be cast down. What thrones? Meaning the kingdoms of all these nations. So there's going to be a time frame where Christ is going to come down to take America down. And not just America, because people just focus on America. America is backed up by every country on this earth. You understand? He has allies because they're one. They're one people. It says, "And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the ancients of days did sit," meaning the Most High. He's the Ancient of Days. It says, "whose garment was white as snow," showing us that the Most High has a physical body, just like we have a body. It's not like how the churches take that scripture that says God is a spirit. They take that way out of context. They say, well, the Most High doesn't have a body, he's a spirit. Like he's a ghost. No, he has a body. Remember, we are made after his likeness. It says, "and the hair," showing you that he has a body, "the hair of his head like the pure wool." So showing us that the Most High, the Heavenly Father, not a white man, he's what?
Black.
A so-called black man.
Nappy,
right. What they call nappy hair. He has woolly hair. And his hair is, of course, white like wool. Like how Christ looks, it's the same way how the Heavenly Father would look. It says, "his throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as a burning fire." The wheels are talking about what? The chariots, right? They resemble that type of look, where it looks like fire. They have light all around them, you know, as a wheel circle.
Right.
So it says, "a fire stream issued and come forth from before him. Thousands and thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him." I mean, there's how many angels in the millions. 1,000 times 1,000, that's basically a million.
Right.
It says, "the judgment was set and the books were opened." What's the judgment? Meaning the Most High already knows who's going to ruin the end. Christ. You know, there's no doubt about that. It says, "and I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even to the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame." This is talking about who?
America.
Right. So about America, the beast that's going to be what? Burned in fire. Flaming fire. It says, "as concerning the rest of the beast," noted there was more than one, says, "they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man," who's that?
Christ.
Right. "Came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days," meaning he came to whom?
God.
He came to the Most High, "and they brought him near before him." A lot of people don't understand that this scripture is teaching us that Christ will have to come a second time, right? Because the first time when he comes, in chapter 9 of the same book, Daniel, it tells you Christ is going to die, but not for himself. Meaning he didn't die because of his own sins. He died for who?
Israel.
He died for Israel. So when he died for Israel, what happened to Christ? When you read Acts chapter 1, he was brought up by the chariots. To who? To sit next to the Most High. Exactly. Remember how the scripture says, you know, "the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down the right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool," meaning until I start bringing down nations to make you the king. That's why when Stephen was being put to death, he said, "the Son of God, you know, sitting at the right hand of God," he saw Christ there. So it says that Christ was brought by the angels to be near the Most High, meaning at the right hand of the Most High. "And it was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away. His kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the vision of my head troubled me. And I came near unto one of them that stood by, and asked him, and he came to one of the angels and asked him, says, the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four, are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. Which were who? You guys should know this by the history we already went over. You had the Babylonians, you had the Persians, you had the Greeks, you had the Romans. That's the four. Right. That's the four. Right. Now, somebody said, well, this is, America is the fifth one.
Yeah.
It passed, you know, four.
I mean, the culture alone, the whole thing based everything. You know what I'm saying? So they base everything. They follow the Roman standards. Everything they do, you know?
Exactly.
The way they do government and everything.
Babylon. Persia.
That means just one kingdom.
Romans. Now, let's get the understanding. Right? With all that getting, get understanding, like the scripture says. It says, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom. So meaning after these four kingdoms, the Israelites, who are the saints, that's the saints, right? The Israelites? That's the saints? The Israelites? Yeah?
I don't say prove it.
That's the saints, right? The Israelites. No? Yeah? The saints are the Israelites?
We are the light.
How you prove that the saints are the Israelites? Because I don't know. Y'all can't be adding stuff to the scriptures. How are the saints are the Israelites? How you prove that? All right, I'm gonna give you three scriptures. I'm gonna give you three, so that in the future when I ask this question, I should at least receive one. Why? Because when you go through the New Testament, when you read Romans chapter 1. Every single chapter of every book that Paul wrote, he says to the saints in Ephesus, to the saints in Rome, to the saints in Philippi, to the saints in Thessalonica. Right? Every single time. So if you have a scripture proving who the saints are, there's no question about who are those Gentiles in Thessalonica, in Rome, in Greece, you know, or whatever place that he was writing to. Right? Let's prove that. Psalms. Let's start at Psalms, chapter 148. Psalms, chapter 148, and verse 14. It says in Psalms 148, verse 14, he exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints. Whenever you see that little dot with a comma, that is basically a semicolon, that means it's a continuation of what was said previously. It says, even, the word even means indeed, or also, or that is, of the children of Israel, a people near unto him, praise ye the Lord. So this is proven that the saints of the Most High are who? Exactly, the children of Israel. Let's go to Psalms chapter 50. Psalms chapter 50. So when you read about Catholics making saints out of people, how can you make the Pope a saint when he's an Edomite, when he's evil? You can't. How can you make some Roman a saint? You can't. It's impossible. That was not a title given to them. Psalm chapter 50 and verse 5. It says, gather my saints together unto me. Again, the semicolon meaning continuation. It says, those, meaning those that are his saints, says that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Who he made a covenant with sacrifice?
Right.
Israel. And when you read on the same chapter, it tells you eventually it's Israel also. Deuteronomy chapter 30, I think it's 33. One second, let's make sure. Let's start at verse 1. It says, and this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of whom? Of Israel before his death. It says, and he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with his 10,000s of saints from his right hand with a fiery law for who? For them. It says, yea, he loved the people, all his saints are in thy hand. And they sat down at thy feet, everyone shall receive of thy words. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. So who are the saints?
Us.
Yes, us. We are the saints. All right? So going back to Daniel's chapter 7. It says in Daniel 7, verse 18, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom, meaning shall take what? Shall take the earth. Right? They're going to get a kingdom. It says, and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. So forever, ever? Forever, ever? It says, then I will know the truth of the fourth beast. So Daniel was like, if that's the case, then I want to know, I want to understand the fourth beast. Which he got an amazing description of how it looks. Let's read how the description of the fourth beast looks. We're going to go to verse 7. After this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong, exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. Who had iron teeth? The Romans. They were powerful, right, when they came to military might. Exactly. So let's just, it devoured and break in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, they came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were the like the eyes of man and a mouth speaking great things. So that's the fourth beast. Now let's read down here in chapter in verse 19. Then I will know the truth of the fourth beast. What is the understanding, the interpretation of that? We know it's the Romans, but what is the understanding? It says, which was diverse from all others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth, that spake very great things, whose look was more stout. What does it mean to be stout?
Stocky type?
No.
Growing
the shit
up, like, proud look.
It could be considered that, but the word style means wise. To be wiser, to be, you know, quick. It says, more stout than his fellows, meaning this one was wiser than all his other fellow horns. It says, and I beheld in the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Until the ancients of days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came, and the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. And another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first. And he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. So what you said earlier about America being from Rome, that's what it is. That's what it's explaining. It's explaining that America is an extension. An extension of Rome. America is that little horn that spoke great things against the Most High.
Okay, so verse 24.
Read it.
verse 24, when it says, and the 10 born out of this kingdom are 10 kings, I shall arise.
Mm-hmm.
And another shall rise after them.
Mm-hmm.
That the one that shall rise after them is America.
Right.
Okay.
Let's go to Revelation chapter 13.
It says, from the 10 horns, a little horn would appear, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that little horn talking about America? Because
he says it's going to be diverse from the first.
Right.
The first will be...
Go to Revelation 13. Revelation 13 and verse 1. You read it. Turn around so the mic can hear you.
It says, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy.
Mm-hmm.
And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard.
Right, the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. Meaning this beast had the similarity of a leopard. Why does it say a leopard? Because the beginning of Esau's rulership began with who?
Alexander the Great.
Alexander the Great. Now, when you read about Alexander the Great, he was known for wearing a hat that was made of, what? Leopard. So anytime you see that symbol of a leopard, you know, when it deals with white people, they always refer back to who? Alexander the Great. You know?
And his feet were as like feet of a bear.
Right, his feet were like the feet of a bear. So when you look up in the society, right, the only nation that symbolized as a bear is who?
Russia.
The Russians. Why does it mention the feet? Because the feet is usually the end. And Russia is going to make war with America. That's how the end times is going to come, by Russia having conflict with America. Read on.
And his mouth as the mouth of a lion.
And his mouth as the mouth of a lion. Remember that it said that he spoke great, wicked things, right? The mouth of the lion is basically representing the British, who basically started off America, because they spoke great, evil things. Read on.
And the dragon gave him his power.
And the dragon, meaning Satan, gave this beast his power. Read.
And his seat and great authority.
Read on.
And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death.
Right, I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, meaning Rome. He saw Rome. Whoa, Rome is destroyed. Right? Rome doesn't exist. Read on.
And his deadly wound was healed.
But no, Rome was healed. Read on.
And all the world wondered after the beast.
Like, whoa, you can't defeat America. You can't do anything against this beast. You know, where did this country come from? Read on.
And they worshiped the dragon.
And they worshiped Satan. Read.
Which gave power unto the beast.
Read.
And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast?
Who is like unto the beast?
Yeah,
right. He's like, who is like America? You know, America's the richest country in the world. Who could defeat America? America has the best, and it's true. America does have the best military power. Nobody will be able to defeat him. Why? Because the Most High gave him that power. It's a saying, but guess who controls saying? The Heavenly Father. The Heavenly Father is doing everything according to his measure, according to his time. Read on.
Who is able to make war with him?
Read on.
And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months.
Now, this is the same little horn that was given what? That was speaking great swelling words, prideful words. Against who? Against the Most High and the saints. Now, notice that it said that this beast was given the power to do these things for how long?
It says 42 months.
42 months, right? How many months is in a year?
12.
Thank you.
It was,
so if you do this, right? 12, right? How many years are in 42 months? So if there's 12 months, right? 12 plus another 12 is how much?
24.
Alright. Plus 12 more?
Is 36.
Right. Now, plus 36 minus 42 is how much? 36. 42 minus 36. So you have 42 minus 36. You already have 3 years. This represents 3 years. How much is
14.
No. The way you do this, right? You take one from here, right? Mm-hmm. You make this into a 3. And you make this into a 12. So 12 minus 6.
Is 6.
So you know that
zero.
Is 0. So that means 6 months. So it means 3 years, right? And a half. That's what it means. Correct? 3 years and a half. That's how much time was given to this beast. Now, is it talking about 3 years and a half literally? We're going to find out. Let's read on in Daniels. Let's go back to Daniels. So basically, in Revelation, it gives you a little bit more detail than what Daniels was talking about. Because to Daniel, Daniel got a lot for his time. Mm. But Revelation is basically going into specific, very specific detail how America was going to rise up.
Stepping back to the Romans and their star, So Alexander came before the Caesars.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to First Maccabees.
One.
Chapter 1, please.
First Maccabees, right?
Right. Chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
1 and 1. And then we're going to go back to Daniel's to explain something real quick. Believe it or not, it's going to tie into Passover focus. Believe me when I say so. First Maccabees 1 and 1. Go ahead, Ash. How are you, Ash? You got it? First Maccabees 1 and 1, it says, and it happened after that Alexander, the son of Philip of Macedonia, who came out of the land of Kittim, had smitten Darius, king of the Persian and Medes, they reigned in his stead first over Greece. So he was the one that took down the Persians. Understand? So after the Persians came down, Alexander came up. Now let's go to chapter 8 of 1 Maccabees. Now remember that at this point, when you read chapter 1, it tells you about his death of Alexander, how he had to give up his kingdom to, you know, 4 of his generals that were close to him. So in chapter 8 and verse 1, it says here, now Judas had heard of the fame of the Romans, that were mighty and valiant men, and such as were lovely, except all that joined themselves unto them, and make a league of amity with all that came unto them. So this is showing you the beginning of the Roman kingdom. At this time, they were not as powerful as the Greeks yet. They had some power, don't get me wrong, but the Greeks were still in rulership. At that time, it was considered to be the Greco-Roman Empire.
And that again shows you how this is the Romans, because anybody that's cool with the United States, pretty much they saved.
They have that same spirit. Yeah. Exactly, the same as that spirit.
Yeah.
They don't change. They have senators, you know, presidents, democracy,
the same
exact everything. So let's go back to Daniel chapter 7. So that explains, it shows you, you know, how the Romans, when you read it like on, it shows you how certain of the Greeks were the same people of the Romans. You know, like Demetrius, he was against Israel. That we celebrated actually a feast about Nicanor. He was the one that sent Nicanor against us. It says that he came out of Rome. You know, he was one of the nobles of Rome. All right, so we're going back to Daniel chapter 7. So remember in Daniel chapter 7, in verse 24, it says, and the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise.
Well, I'm sorry.
Daniel 7:24.
Yeah.
It says, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. The 3 kings are who? Are the 3 heads. Who are those 3 kings?
It says he shall be diverse from the first.
Right, meaning America is going to be diverse from all the kings, from all the kingdoms, but he's going to subdue 3 kings.
He's going to subdue three kings.
What the word subdue means?
Subdue means to bring into subjection, to, you know, to bring into under his power.
Under his power?
Mm-hmm. But these three kings were before him.
Canada?
No.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, that's what it is.
So what is
it about? Russia?
No.
China?
No.
Japan?
No.
Europe?
No.
British?
Yeah, British is one.
French?
French is the second.
Spain.
And Spain is the third. Those are the three kings. Those are the three nations that brought us into captivity. And those are the three nations that had a part of this land that he overcame. He overcame the British. He overcame the Spanish. He overcame the French. Those are the three nations that America subdued. So it says, and he shall speak great words against the Most High. What are the words that he spoke against the Most High? How was America, how did America speak against the Most High?
Even looking at when they went up to the heavens, they said there was no God.
Right.
They proclaimed themselves to be as God.
Right.
Color the history books.
Right.
As white Jews and put Christ being white. That's blasphemy.
There you go. All of that's the beginning. Let's go to it. Let's go to Revelation, back to chapter 13, to see what were the things that he was going to speak against the Most High. Revelation chapter 13. I'm going to start at verse 5. It says in Revelation 13 and 5, and it was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name. It's like, for example, to this day, they blaspheme the Most High by changing his name to a fake name. So it says like Yahweh, you know, or whatever other
name.
It says, and his tabernacle, they blaspheme the tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. Meaning, he made himself God, he made himself Christ, he made himself the Israelites, he made himself the angels.
You mean the Americans?
Right, the Edomites. It says, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints. We're going to read the same thing in Daniel. It says, and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Now let's jump down to verse... might as well, 14. It says, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth. So the first thing he does is deceive by blasphemy. It says, by the means of those miracles, says, which he had power to do it in the sight of the beast. Revelation 13, verse 14. Saying to them that dwell on the earth.